It is a beautiful opportunity. I was thinking about what it is to celebrate Divine Mercy Sunday in the year of mercy with a great call from our Holy Father to live the great witness of God's mercy and love. It seemed a good time today to try and talk about mercy. I think the fascinating thing even more was mercy is a curious word to me in so many ways that really, in our modern culture, we seem to use it more and more frequently that we seem to lose a sort of sense of its meaning at times. It's kind of like love. We use it a lot or too little, and we seem to lose a sense of what it really calls us to do. Just thinking about what it is that mercy actually expects of us and really calls and challenges us to do. And I thought about the Church's wisdom of actually writing down the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy. As I thought about it, I thought about when I was much younger, I still remember a group of my friends came over to play, and my little brother wanted to play with us, and I didn't want to play with my little brother, I wanted to play with my friends. And I told him no, and I was particularly mean about it, I think, and after my friends left, my mother came over to me and she said to me that I had to apologize to my younger brother. And I pointed out that they were my friends and I should have been able to spend time with them. And my mother acknowledged that. She said, no, I understand that, but it's how you were mean to your brother that you need to apologize to him. And I looked at my mother and I asked her, couldn't I do something easier? You know, like sever my leg with a rusty blade, or give him my arm, or I don't know, anything else? She said, no, so apparently I had to go do that. But I was reflecting on that in so many ways. Really, it's the corporal works of mercy that get a lot of attention. And even as a child, I really thought to myself, they sounded much easier. You think about the corporal works of mercy, we have, you know, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, visit the imprisoned, and bury the dead. In so many ways, we actually get to live these acts of mercy, the very tangible, visible things. To feed someone, to give them something to drink. We don't have to be starving to death. We don't have to find the poorest of the poor to live this corporal work of mercy. I don't see a lot of naked people running around Dixon, but clothing the naked includes giving someone what they need to get by that day. That means getting them a new jacket or a new coat or just a pair of pants for whatever they need, that actually is part of that. Sheltering the homeless is as much as giving someone a place to stay for the night as it is anything. And then they get a little more difficult. To visit the sick or the imprisoned requires maybe that we put ourselves out a little bit more. To invest ourselves, we're willing to step into someone else's challenges. And burying the dead, I'm not saying that all of us need to go grab shovels and dig graves, but burying the dead also includes being present at a funeral, visiting a family in their time of mourning, and being a part of the rites that go along with that. These are all very tangible things. That's why they're called the corporal works of mercy, because they're very tangible things. And they are beautiful, and they actually remind us of how it is that we get to live mercy. But if we really are to take this year of mercy seriously, we really want to dive in with both feet and really see God in all of his greatness, we need to take on more than just the corporal works of mercy. They're great, and we should do them. But we need to embrace the spiritual works of mercy. You know, it's a funny thing. I don't meet a lot of people who can list off of the spiritual works of mercy. It's not something we spend a lot of time thinking about, perhaps, or maybe we just never thought about them in this context. But really, they are much greater challenges in some ways, depending on who we are. If you think about it, spiritual works of mercy, I'll tell you the last one first, mostly because I think it's the easiest one to do, and maybe we'll just step into challenges from there. The last list of spiritual works of mercy is to pray for the living and the dead. We're always invited to pray for the living and the dead. Something that we can do in our time of prayer, something that we can always return to. We pray for those people that we care about in our life. Then we pray for those people that perhaps we don't care as much about in our life. And don't forget, we're supposed to pray for our enemies then too. One of my professors in the seminary always reminded us, he said, remember that Jesus himself said that we should pray for our enemies. So you should have a list. Make sure you pray for them. It's okay to acknowledge them, but they are someone we have to pray for. The other spiritual works of mercy are admonish the sinner. Consider for a moment the last time that we actually were ready to rise to the challenge to admonish the sinner. Not clicking our tongues and telling people what they do wrong. Not wagging our finger and saying, that's not right. But actually stepping into someone's life and showing them that we love them so very much that we want to challenge them to not live in a sin. To embrace a life without that vice. And actually live that mercy. More often I hear, don't judge me. But actually admonish the sinner is a reminder to us. You're right. We're not to judge. That is to say that it's not ours to decide whether someone's going to heaven or hell. It is ours to invite people back to a life of holiness and grace. Instruct the ignorant. Consider for a moment the challenge of instructing the ignorant means that first we must know something that we can actually share with someone else. And then have a loving manner about it so that we're not condescending or speaking down or trying to make someone feel small by our knowledge. But actually sharing something that we know to benefit people who don't. It's not just the role of teachers to instruct the ignorant, but all of us who can live into this great reminder of who it is that we are supposed to be. Counsel the doubtful. Consider for a moment how very difficult it would have to be willing to put ourselves out there to actually stretch ourselves far enough to step into someone else's challenge, to step into someone else's doubts and fears, and to be able to give good counsel. Not solve the problem, not wave our hand and make it go away, but offer counsel in a time of difficulty. Be able to offer some piece of helpfulness that reminds them that they don't have to be in that doubt by themselves. Comfort the sorrowful. To actually step into someone else's difficulty. To step into whatever it is that brings them to such steps of sorrow. And to be a comfort in that moment. Oftentimes we can't fix it. Oftentimes we can't make it all better. But can we be comforting in that time of sorrow? Can we be that consolation for that person as they sit in that time of unknown darkness? Bears wrongs patiently. I usually hit this one and I think, well, I'm out. I'll go feed the hungry and work in a soup kitchen for 12 hours. But bears wrongs patiently. I have to forgive people even when they don't look for forgiveness. Even when they aren't sorry, to forgive that wrong, that person that has wronged us, to endure that wrong patiently, not to go and tell everyone that I've been wronged and I demand justice, but quite the opposite, to say, I'm willing to forgive them before any admonishment comes, before any remorse is visible, but to actually bear that wrong in a witness to the love of God. Forgive all injuries. All of them. Not just physical injuries, not just mental injuries, not just emotional injuries, but to forgive injuries. To forgive those people who've done these misdeeds to us, who have afflicted us in some way, who have caused us hardship. To let go of those grudges, to let go of those wrongs, to let go of those hurts, and to actually be a witness of what God's love and mercy actually is. See, the beautiful thing about the spiritual works of mercy is that while the corporal works of mercy are things that we could easily be lauded for, someone could write up in the paper what a great thing it is to work in the soup kitchen and to ensure that no child goes coatless this winter. Spiritual works of mercy are something far more difficult because we could still be despised for it. We could still be disliked or even at times criticized for living out these spiritual works of mercy. The most beautiful thing about it is that by doing so, we actually step into what it truly is to see God's love for each and every one of us. To witness where God's love comes from. this place within his very heart where he longs for the best in all of us and is willing to endure every suffering to ensure that we receive it. Consider for a moment the crucifixion once again, and what a true act of not only love, but mercy. And we get to see in a very special way what it is that God wants to give us. So in this year of mercy, on this Divine Mercy Sunday, this beautiful reminder to us of just truly how much God loves us, I want to challenge you to live the corporal works of mercy. But don't stop there. Live the spiritual works of mercy. Experience God's love and mercy yourself, and then go be that agent for others, that witness of exactly that, knowing that at times it will be difficult, but in all of it, in all ways, it is God who offers us this mercy first, and then invites us to go and do the same.